This Bible reading will be 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 1 to 11. Now, about the gifts of the Spirit, brothers and sisters, I do not want you to be uninformed. You know that when you were pagans, somehow or another, you were influenced and led astray to mute idols. Therefore, I want you to know that no one who is speaking by the Spirit of God says, Jesus be cursed. And no one can say, Jesus is Lord, except by the Holy Spirit. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in everyone, it's the same God at work. Now, to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom, to another a message of knowledge by the means of the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by that one Spirit, to another miraculous powers, to another prophecy, to another distinguishing between spirits, to another speaking in different kinds of tongues, and to still another the interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and he distributes them to each one just as he determines. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Thanks so much, Noah. Good morning, everybody.
Good morning.
If I haven't met you, my name's Ben. I'm one of the ministers here. It's a delight to be able to open God's word with you this morning. I want to give you a bit of an insight into my family. This is Rosemary, one of my daughters, and she's about to get something special. Now, in our family, something special are rewards that we give our children for showing patterns of good behaviour, embodying the fruit of the Spirit, or being, you know, nice, diligent, obedient children, that sort of thing. And after a while, you fill up your sticker chart and then it's time to get something special. And when you get something special, what you do is you sit on the couch, you close your eyes and you put out your hands like this and you eagerly wait for Mummy to put something into your hands. And I just love that in each of our girls, there's this great expectancy and joy as they wait with open hands to receive a token, or just a little thing of love from their parents. In Luke 11, Jesus says to his disciples that our Father in heaven longs to give even better things to us. He says, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? And so this morning, as we continue in our Life in the Spirit series, as we turn our attention to the gifts of the Spirit, I want us to come before God this morning with that same joyful expectancy that God is a good Father to us, one who delights to give good gifts to his children. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, you are a good Father to us. We give you thanks that by your Spirit you grant us new life in Christ and adopt us as your beloved children. You lovingly give us your Spirit to be with us and to be at work in us. By your Spirit now, we pray that you would fan into flame your gifts in us. Give us an eagerness and an expectancy for you to be at work in our lives and in your church. And as we lean into what you are doing in this place, may your Spirit grow us in unity and love for one another and point us all powerfully to Jesus. And we pray this in his name and for his glory. Amen. If you were here a few weeks ago, we were thinking about the momentous event of the ascension of Jesus. And one of the reasons why it's so important is because it enabled him to send down his Spirit to his people as Jesus' personal presence and power amongst us. And Ephesians 4 picks up on this idea. It says in the greater context that Jesus, he is the ascended, the victorious, triumphant King. And from the overflow of his victory over sin and death, he now freely distributes gifts to his people. And we see in verse 11 that Christ sends these gifts, sorry, verse 12, to equip his people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up. And the word for equip here is katartismos. And it conveys this sense of being restored or formed for a purpose. And so through his Spirit, God is gently repairing us, making us a people fit for doing all that he calls us to. Like we learnt last week, the broken and unhealthy Corinthian church, just as for them as it is for all of us, the Spirit works in us all, repairing us from our past lives, our past allegiances, our past patterns of behaviour, and unites us under the lordship of Christ Jesus. But that's not all, because in verse 4 in 1 Corinthians 12, Paul then speaks about gifts that the Holy Spirit gives to his church, gifts to empower us all for our life together in Christ. And so for the next 2 weeks together, we are going to be exploring the gifts of the Spirit. This morning, we're going to think about what's the source, the purpose, the definition of spiritual gifts. We're going to be thinking about how spiritual gifts enable our unified diversity. And then a bit of a so what? Like what implications, what might that challenge about our assumptions? And then where to from here? And wanting to land on some really concrete things for us to walk away with. And then next week, we're looking in particular at the gifts of prophecy and tongues. So what are spiritual gifts? Where do they come from? Who received them? And what are they for? Well, if we have a look in 1 Corinthians 12, 4-7, we can see that, and follow along with me, there are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them, and in every one, it is the same God at work. Now to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. Now there's a whole bunch of things packed into these verses. But if I can summarize for us, what do we see? We see that the gifts are the triune God at work manifesting himself in you and I. We see that the gifts, they are distributed to every believer. And every believer has distinct gifts, distinct giftings, even if there might be an overlap in some. And we also see what they're for. We see the purpose of them. You see that in that last verse, in verse 7, they are given for the common good. In other words, they are to build others up, not ourselves. They are for the common good. And so with those things all floating around, here's my definition of spiritual gifts. Spiritual gifts are varied abilities that God lovingly gives to all Christians to meet the needs of others in Christ's name so that the Christian community is built up in size and depth. In giving gifts to his children, God empowers us as a people so that together we may live out his purposes for us. And this is where Paul goes for the remainder of 1 Corinthians 12, and we're going to do a bit of a zip through that. And Paul's big point for the rest of chapter 12 is that spiritual gifts, they enable us as a church to minister to one another and to the world. And we do that in unified diversity. In unified diversity. Now that sounds like two words that don't naturally go together. And they don't naturally go together. But with the help of the Spirit, in the church they can and they must. All these varied gifts, says Paul, in verse 11, are the work of the one and the same Spirit, and he distributes them to each one just as he determines. And so we see in verses 8 through to 10, and then a bit later on, if you've got an actual copy of the passage in front of you, you'll see in verses 28 to 30, he talks about some other gifts. Then also we see some other gifts listed in Romans 12 and in Ephesians 4 and a whole bunch of other parts of the Bible as well. And so we actually get an example of all of these varied gifts. We get an example, and it's quite a list. Look at this. This is on the screen here. This is our attempt at describing and summarizing the breadth of some of these gifts. They're in alphabetical order, not in order of any other type of sorting. What have we got? We've got administration, we've got hospitality, we've got evangelism, we've got exhortation, we've got healing, we've got helping, we've got teaching, we've got prophecy, we've got tongues, we've got pioneering. There's a whole bunch of different things. And all of these gifts are at work in you, the church. It's very exciting. And so each of you, if you are someone who trusts in Jesus, you have at least one of these. And what you might find as you're thinking about it, one of the great things in God's goodness is that, look, maybe you might have some kind of natural talent as well. And what we find is that God in his goodness, the Spirit can enable your natural talents to be given new life, a fresh wind and a fresh purpose for serving his people in love. And in all of these things, God's design is that the varied gifts, both the ordinary sounding and the supernatural sounding, they all work together to build up the church, all of them. It is our unity expressed in diversity and our diversity held together in unity, all so that the church would be built up. And the most powerful analogy that God gives us of this unified diversity in action is that of a human body. Paul says in verse 12, he says, just as a body, though one, has many parts, but all its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ. And then back down in verse 27 of chapter 12, he says, you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. And he's using this metaphor to help us understand how the gifts of the Spirit work together in unified diversity. Because God's design for us is that. There is one body, but many parts. And so that means your gift is irreplaceable. You are intrinsically required for what God is doing in this place. You are needed. You are important. But then as we then think about other people, that also means that none of us have a right to say, I don't need you, I don't need you, I don't want you here, I'm better than you. We just can't say that. We are all part of the body. And so we get this inescapable truth. Like, the church would not be better if you were gone, if I were gone. And it certainly wouldn't be better if everyone else were exactly like me. That would be a horrible church. There'd be too many dad jokes. Brothers, sisters, members of the one body, the church is the best that it can be when every unique part functions together in a Spirit-empowered love, in joy, in peace, in patience, and all of the other fruit. When we embrace this unity, we build each other up across our differences. When we do that right, the world takes notice. And look, maybe you're visiting us today and you're exploring what this whole churchy thing is all about. My hope, my prayer is that you experience something today that is a gathering together of people that otherwise wouldn't have anything in common. And yet because of Jesus, he makes us one. I hope that is really appealing to you. And in fact, right near the end of chapter 14 of 1 Corinthians, Paul's desire is that as we minister to one another in spirit-driven love, that it would be so powerful, so observable, that someone would walk in and exclaim, God is really among you. This is where we see the true power of Christ at work in our unified diversity. Well, there are three significant ways in which spiritual gifts, they challenge our assumptions about our life together. Well, the first one is that spiritual gifts, they challenge our notion of individualism. Now, of course, our relationship with Jesus is deeply personal and individual. Like, if you are someone who trusts in Jesus, you can say, Christ knows me. God has adopted me. His Spirit dwells within me. But we can so easily think about the church individualistically. Like we might think, you know, like, look, you know, I have my Bible, I have my Spotify worship, I've got my favorite podcasts and favorite preachers online. Like, so why bother with the messiness and the stress of gathering together at church? Particularly because the music's awful or the whatever, you know. Like, why bother? I've got all the stuff I need to follow Jesus myself. I've got my little Lectio app. But if we are part of the body, church isn't a consumer experience to cater to our preferences. It is a place, it is a body to exercise your gift for the sake of others. And so then to avoid church, to stay away from church because it might not suit us, is to deprive the body of a part that it desperately needs, to deprive the church of a gift and a ministry which it needs. Back in the 60s, the first time we were doing all the space stuff, President JFK apparently visited the NASA headquarters. And when he was there, he spotted a cleaner that was mopping the floor. And so he went up to the cleaner and asked, like, what are you doing? And the cleaner said, I am helping put a man on the moon. I love that because this cleaner got it. He saw that even if his role was just little and humble, it was all part of the grander plan to get someone onto that hunk of rock. I love that. And God wants to do the same thing within us. Well, the second thing is that the Spirit and the spiritual gifts, it challenges passiveness. You know, look, sometimes it is easier just to sit back and let others do the ministry, isn't it? Like, it's comfortable, it's safe, and look, and even maybe you might have served for a long time in the past, and now you're like, it's time to let other people serve, I'm just going to rest. And look, and I'm sure that there are some of you here today who are here simply because that's just what you do on Sundays. You go to church. And for whatever reason, you're reluctant to step in, to step out of your comfort zone, step into the unknown and exercise your gift. Or perhaps you don't even feel like it's important enough, it's vital enough to seriously ask God to make his gifting known to you. And years go by and nothing's changed. American pastor Francis Chan was once interviewed about why he left the megachurch that he planted. And he reflected, he said, I got frustrated at a point, like just biblically. I go, wait a second, according to the Bible, every single one of these people has a supernatural gift that's meant to be used for the body. And I'm like, 5,000 people show up every week to hear my gift, to see my gift. That is a lot of waste. If you're a passive person here at St. Alfred's. I feel like God is saying to you this morning, the body needs you. It's always needed you. And people will suffer without your ministry. I want to use you to bring about my purposes in ways that you could never imagine. And so I urge you to take steps forward towards getting involved. And finally, spiritual gifts also can challenge our expectations of how God can work. Look, I think if we're honest, our expectation of how the Spirit works is shaped by our context, by our personalities, by our histories. Andrew Wilson says, our preferences are formed by leaders that we've respected, examples we have admired, and excesses we have seen. And most of us, for a whole host of reasons, will find some aspects of corporate worship easier to access and to enjoy than others. But since these gifts are real, and as verse 11 says, they are the work of the one and the same Spirit, and he distributes them to each one just as he determines, God wants to gently challenge us in any unhealthy assumptions we might have, in our expectations of how God might be at work, and expand our comfort zone of how he can be working amongst us. And look, and I think this challenge cuts both ways. I think some of us maybe have too small a view of what God can do in this place. And I think some of us maybe go like, God has to be at work in these big, impressive ways, and maybe he's not at work in those little ways. Look, I think this challenge cuts both ways. And so it's a call to love and humility and seeking to learn from one another in this place. Well, I said that we'd be finishing with some concrete things. So here are some very practical next steps. Where to from here? Here are three things. First of all, if you are someone who knows what your spiritual gift is or gifts are, then God says, use them. Use them. If you've got it, use it. And if you're already using your gift, then God says, keep growing in it. Keep growing in it. Fan into flame the gift of God which is in you, 2 Timothy 1. Keep growing in exercising your gift with greater love, with greater joy, with greater peace, with greater patience and kindness and all the other Spirit's fruit, so that the body may be built up even more. And I am so grateful that every time we gather on Sundays, we see spiritual gifts expressed in many ways. You know, whether it's leading little discussion groups, whether it's reading the Bible up the front, whether it's praying, whether it's playing music, whether it's offering rise to those who can't make it here, whether it's serving morning tea, handling all the tech side of things, whether it's cleaning afterwards, whether it's stacks ministry, welcoming others, whether it's just prayerfully interceding on behalf of the Lord's people in the prayer room before the service. All of these roles, they reflect different gifts at work in the body, and they are all vital for a healthy body. And so if you are wanting to explore ways to use your gifts to meet the needs in our community here, well, I'd love for you to make a time to meet with one of the leaders. Let's discern that together. Let's explore where you might be able to put your gifts to work for the building up of the body. And look, and maybe you might feel like you've got like a prophetic gift or a particular like leading or teaching sort of thing, but you're lacking some confidence. Well, smaller settings like growth groups or even our Abide gathering and other things like that, they are great safe places to exercise and practice those gifts and keep growing in them. Well, second, you might be a Christian, but perhaps you don't actually know the unique ways that the Spirit has gifted you. If that's you today, well, then God says, Find out your gifts. Discern your gifts so that you can contribute to the body. One of the things to prepare for this series that we've put together is a spiritual gifts inventory. It's a questionnaire which corresponds to that list of the 20-something gifts I mentioned before. And we have some printed copies available for those who want one. And it's a great opportunity to just sit with a whole bunch of these things and look, you might learn something new, or you might have confirmed to you what you already suspect God may be doing in your life. But maybe if you're not the questionnaire type of person, never underestimate the power of having other members of the body prayerfully help you discern your gifting. Like growth groups, so like a trusted group of people, mentoring relationships. I know a number of you have mentoring relationships. These are such wonderful places to explore that. Just say, hey, you know what I'm like. You know what I'm passionate about. Where do you think God's gifting may be in me? Think of someone else that you trust. Approach them today. If you feel God calling you to discern your gifts, don't let this opportunity go. And finally, regardless of whether you know your gifts or not, God instructs us in his word. In 1 Corinthians 14:1, he says, follow the way of love and eagerly desire gifts of the Spirit. And remember, Paul is writing this command to a church that we saw last week. He describes as not lacking any spiritual gift, and yet he says, eagerly desire spiritual gifts. He wants them to grow. And so I want to encourage you that in his Spirit, in his goodness, God may give you more spiritual gifts over your Christian life to meet particular needs. And look, and perhaps there is a need that's just arisen unexpectedly within the community. And God has just placed a burning desire on your heart. Like, I wish someone would do about that. These people have a need. I wish someone would do that. You know what? That might actually be God giving you a desire that he wants to equip you and empower you for that very task. And if that's the case, then just prayerfully cry out to our loving Heavenly Father who loves to give good gifts to his children. Ask him to give you what is needed or to make clear to you the person that needs to be tapped on the shoulder and incorporated into that need. Look, I've experienced this to be true in my life, and I know that many of you have also received spiritual gifts over the course of your life as well to meet needs in the community. And look, and I suspect that there's at least a few people here this morning who felt just a stirring that as we've been thinking, as we've been talking about these things. And if that's you, we would love to pray with you and ask the Spirit to empower you to meet a specific need or for a particular gift. So if that's you, come and chat with me, and we've got some other people at the front after the service who would love to pray for you. And if you do want a space to keep on prayerfully discerning and dwelling in this posture of seeking more of the Spirit's presence and filling and empowerment, well, can I invite you to join us in 2 weeks' time at our Abide evening? It's on Saturday, the 23rd of May from 7:30 p.m. right here, where we're asking the Spirit to come and do his work amongst us. Don't leave today without doing something about all of this. What is one concrete thing that I'm going to do this week to respond to this? What is one concrete thing? As you're thinking about that, as you're jotting it into your phone or in your notepad, let me pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you that you have given each of us a unique calling, a unique ministry through your supernatural empowering of us in the Spirit. We pray that we would earnestly desire to grow in our gifts. May we seek to exercise them in loving ways in our unified diversity. And as we do this, we ask that our church would be built up and would experience your power and love at work in this place. And we ask all of this, knowing that you, God, are able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to your power that is at work within us. To you be glory in the church and in Jesus Christ throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen.